Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Gimel. Today we're going to be discussing the following topics. First, we're going to finish off yesterday's discussion. We had three machloks in between Rav and Shmuel about different cases, whether they're a violation of the malach of Bona or a violation of the malach of Makkah B'Patish. So one of those cases was about chiseling, drilling a small hole. We're going to finish off that discussion. We're then going to clarify why Rav Shmuel Gamliel holds that a person is chayiv even for just banging a hammer on an anvil where he's not actually doing any malach, he's not actually fixing anything, why he would be chayiv. And then the first mission and the small piece of Gemara Namad Aleph discuss plowing and pruning and how much of it a person has to do in order to be chayiv. And then the whole rest of the daf is all about the malacha of kosev, of writing. Some of the topics that relate to writing that we're going to discuss include whether a person is chayiv for writing with his left hand, how many letters and what types of characters a person has to write in order to be chayiv, and whether at the very end of the daf we can get to whether it matters if one writes a mem sofis in place of a regular mem, vice versa. Does that make a difference? And that's going to lead into the next daf about where these different forms of the same letter come from. The idea of a different form of a mem at the end of a letter than you have in the beginning or middle of a letter, that's going to bring us into tomorrow's daf Bez Hashem. So we are holding at the very last word, I believe, of Kuf Bez Amun Bez. We had just learned these three machloks in between Rav and Shmuel, whether various activities are a violation of the malacha of Bona or a violation of the malacha of Makkah B'Patish. In each of the cases, it was Rav Amr Mishum Bona, Shmuel Omer Mishum Makkah B'Patish. So Toshma says, let's bring a raya. Hakodeach kol shu chayiv. If a person drills just a tiny amount, that he's going to be chayiv for drilling even a small hole. So Bishlam al Rav Michzi Kaman Dechor Chursa L'Binyana. So I understand very well, according to Rav, who kept on saying Mishum Bona, that these are violations of Bona. So that's a violation of Bona. Drilling a small hole looks like you're making a hole for the purpose of building. El Shmuel lav gemar malachahu. But according to Shmuel, the whole problem with drilling is that it's a violation of Makkah B'Patish. But where's the gemar malacha over here? If you look at Rashi, El Shmuel damar nokev lav bonahu. According to Shmuel, that drilling a hole is not Bona. Bishlam a nekev delul ikalameimar Makkah B'Patish. I understand the hole that you drill into a chicken coop. That was one of the cases of Machlokas, where Shmuel says that's Makkah B'Patish, because that's the last stage of completing a chicken coop, is by drilling a little hole into it. Aval zesha omid listom lav gemar malachahu. But this hole that you drill, where you're going to then fill it with a screw, with a nail, with something, with a hook, you're going to put something in there afterwards, so it's not the gemar malacha. So how could you possibly be that it's chayiv if the whole chayiv of drilling a hole in a chicken coop is only Makkah B'Patish? So when you drill a hole that's not completing anything, it shouldn't be a violation of anything. So what's Shmuel going to do with this statement of Hakodeach kol shu chayiv? Answers the Gemara, Hacha b'mayaskinon debazi beramtz de parzla v'shavki begavei dahainu gemar malacha, that he pierced the wall with a long iron nail, and the point is that he was going to leave the nail in there and use it like a hook. So when you drill that hole, you didn't just drill a hole, you stuck something in that hole as you were drilling it. You stuck a long nail into that hole as you were drilling it, and the point is to use that which you stuck in the hole, and therefore it is completing something. It is therefore a violation of Makkah B'Patish. Okay, we're at the two dots, five lines in on Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph. Zeh HaKlal. So the Mishnah had said that we have a rule. The rule is anytime you do a malacha or malachto miskayemes, you do that on Shabbos, you're going to be chayiv. So says the Gemara, Zeh HaKlal Asuyemai. What's it coming to teach me that I would not have already known? It tells me you do a malacha, you're chayiv from malacha on Shabbos. I know you're chayiv from malacha on Shabbos. What, that has to be miskayemes? It has to be substantial? I know that too. So what's it coming to tell me that I didn't already know? So says the Gemara, La Asuye Dechok Kafi. If you take a log that you could hollow out an area that would make a base kibul that could hold a kav, and you only hollow out an area that could hold 3/4 of a kav, let's say, that's also a violation of malacha, meaning even though you didn't maximize the potential of the raw material that you had, nevertheless you're still going to be chayiv because you did something substantial and something lasting. It doesn't matter whether you maximize the full capacity of that log to be able to make the largest possible kli, and the bottom line, and you did something significant. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Amaka B'Kornas Al Asadan. Then we have the sheet of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in the Mishnah, that even if you bang with a hammer on an anvil, you're going to be chayiv. because that's also called a malacha. So says Gemara, my kavod, you bang on the anvil, what are you doing? It doesn't accomplish anything. You're not building anything, you're not making anything. So Rabbi Rav Yosef, Damri Tavrayu, Mipnesha Ma'ami Nes Yado, because you're learning how to hit properly, how to bang with the hammer properly. It gets your swing right. So since it's a good practice for your swing, that's why it's a violation of a malacha. So Kashba B'nei Rachva, so B'nei Rachva had great difficulty with that explanation. So let's say you observe somebody who's an expert, and you just watch him, you watch an expert carpenter on Shabbos, you're going to be chayiv for that, because you're learning how to be a better carpenter by watching an expert? I mean, so what that when you bang on the anvil, you improve your swing of the hammer, you improve your technique in how you bang your nails? What difference does that make? Why does that make it a malacha? It should be no different than watching somebody, where it's obviously not a malacha. So Ella Baiv Rav Adami Tarvayu Shekein Mirad Ditase Mishkan Osin Kein. Now the reason why this is a violation of something is that those who would pound the metal sheets that went to make the Mishkan would do this also. They would bang on an anvil once in a while. Why would they do that? Says Rashi, Makin Gimel Alatas VaAchas Alasadan. They would hit three times on the metal sheet that they were working on, and then once on the anvil. LaHachlik HaKornus Shloyibaka Atas. And they did that to make sure that the face of the hammer was smooth so that it wouldn't cause any cracks or any breaks in the thin metal sheet that they were banging on. Shudak. Ubali matbea bimkomeinu riisiosin ken. Rashi says, you know, I've seen people do this. This is something that's normal practice for people who work with metal to make sure that they're, who work with thin metal sheets, to make sure that the hammer that they're banging with has a very smooth face to it. Tanya nami hachmi of a brisa that says just like this. Rabbi Shungum liolomer af hamaka bekornus alasadan bishas melacha chayiv. Why? So in our Mishnah doesn't say why. He just says it's a chayiv. But in this brisa it says shekein mirad. Because it gives the exact explanation that Abaye and Rava give, because the people who would bang on the thin sheets in the Mishkan would also do this. So that's how we know that Abaye and Rava are correct, and not like the original explanation of Rava and Rav Yosef, that it was just about getting the practice. Now the Magen Avraham in Siman Shin Mem Sifkat Ches writes in the name of the Trumas Hadashin in Siman Samach Gimel that you're allowed to watch experts on Shabbos to learn how to do things. That's not a violation of anything. Based on our Gemara, that the Bnei Rachva said, what's the problem with banging on the anvil if it's just to improve your technique? It should be no worse than watching an expert, and watching an expert is certainly not a problem. In the Tshuvas of Rabbi Yaakov Emden, he writes that someone who's learning an anatomy, or someone who's learning how to become a surgeon, is not allowed to go to see to watch a surgery and to learn this chachma. But an Adam Pashud, who has no interest in learning the umnas, he's just going to enjoy seeing something new, seeing something different, because sometimes people just like to be educated, and they like to see how things work. He holds that there's no Isser. Now, it sounds like from Rabbi Yaakov Emden that the Isser is someone who wants to learn Dafka for this tachlis to be able to do it, but if he was Dafka to go there to learn. The issue over there is, I guess, that it's a more direct concern that he's going more like a not that he's going to do it, but it's more of a dabber-dover kind of thing, that it's that he's worrying about business concerns on Shabbos, about parnasa concerns on Shabbos, that it's not really about, but it doesn't seem that the Isser is really just about being able to understand things is not a violation of any malacha, as our Gemara is very clear about. The Shor Mitzvah and Balacha connects this to maybe a difference between going walking down Central Avenue on Shabbos, window shopping, whether your purpose is to plan to buy things later, where that's going to be a problem, similar to the guy who's learning surgery and is not allowed to watch a surgery, versus Stam, you enjoy window shopping, Stam looking around, where maybe that would not be a problem. That's just Stam, the guy who's watching the surgery or watching the anatomy or the dissection or whatever, Stam for his own interest. That's how he connects it to that tshuva from Rabbi Yaakov Emden. The Rav Zilberstein, Chashuk Echemer, raises a shayla of a chemist who wants to know whether a certain chocolate has chelev v'shumen menachai, has any animal products in it, and therefore is not kosher, or doesn't have any animal products and is kosher. And in order to be able to tell, he needs to cook it. So he cooked it on Shabbos. So is he chay v'chatas? He wants to know, did he violate an issur d'oraisa? Obviously, it's not the right thing to do, so but he wants to know, is he chay v'chatas? We don't have a base of Mikdash anymore, but the Rama writes in Simen Shin Lamed Daled, you do something that you chay v'chatas, you should designate money for tzedakah as a kapara, just like Korban Chatas would be kapara. The guy wants to know, should he designate money for tzedakah? So first, Rav Zilberstein says, wait a second, forget about Shabbos. What about Bishul Basar B'Challah? For all you know, there's if there are animal parts in there, you may have violated the Isser of Bishul Basar B'Challah. So he quotes that the Dovid Mesharim, Chelek Aleph Simen Lamed, discusses this kind of Shaila, and he quotes from the Kesef Mishnah, a very well-known Kesef Mishnah, in the first parak of Hilchos Tumas Meis. The Kesef Mishnah writes that the whole reason there's an Isser to be Mevashel Basar B'Challah is Shalo Yavo Liachlo, is that if you cook meat and milk together, you're going to come to eat meat and milk, and it's all a siyag da'oraisa. Even though the issur of cooking it together is da'oraisa, but it's a siyag da'oraisa. Sometimes the Torah itself makes halachos that are to protect you from other halachos. Now that Kesef Mishnah is a great chiddush on two levels. First, it's a great chiddush to tell me that there even exists such a concept of a siyag da'oraisa, that the Torah is going to tell me not to do something only to protect me from not doing something else, and then to say mehechi tesi that the issur of bishul basar chal. Even if you agree that there is such a concept, Rav Yosef Engel has a long piece where he gives 19 examples or something about of siyagim d'oraisa that we find that he claims that kisei adam is a siyag d'oraisa shelo yavo liachlo. He has a Rashbam like that on Chumash, I think, that he has a bunch of different examples that might be a siyag d'oraisa. Yichud is a siyag d'oraisa, lest you come to sleep with the woman. But the Kesef, even if you accept that there is such a concept, mehechi tesi that this is a siyag d'oraisa, meaning if the Kesef Mishnah were correct, so you could say, okay, over here, the guy is dafka cooking it, so he can know not to eat it. So it's not going to come to eat it, and therefore maybe it wouldn't be a violation of midaraisa. But the whole thing is very shver. But anyway, when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, he says, when it comes to the Isser of Bishul on Shabbos, so anyway, it's not going to be an Isser of Bishul because the chocolate is pre-cooked already, and the halacha is Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, that once something is already cooked, it's not going to be a violation of Bishul to cook it further. But then he quotes our Gemara, Shabbos Kuf Gimel Menalv, Hamaka Bekornis Al Sadan Chayiv, that when you bang on the anvil, you're chayiv because it's mesakin malacha. The Gemara asks, what did you do? And the Gemara suggests, maybe it's that ma'amin is yado, you're learning how to do it better. You're learning how to bang the hammer better. So Rashi says that margilam u'mechavnim la'kar ru'iya. So the Gemara says, but then watching somebody should also be, you should also be chayiv because you didn't do any, and in that case, you're obviously not chayiv. You didn't do anything, you're just learning. So says Rav Zilberstein, maybe over here it's different. Over here, you're doing something to learn. You're doing something to figure out chemicals and to be able to teach his chemistry students what goes into making the different types of chocolates. But he actually created something. He actually did something substantial. It wasn't just watching. So then maybe Hitaka would be chayiv mishum maka bepatish, if there is such a thing as maka bepatish ba'ochlin, which is also a separate shaila. But okay, that's what he connects to this discussion in our Gemara. New Mishnah, Hachoresh Kol Shehu. If someone plows, even the tiniest amount, Hamenachish, or someone weeds, Vahmekarsem, if someone prunes branches, Vahmezared, or someone prunes shoots, Kolshu, even the tiniest amount, chayiv. A person is going to be chayiv even on a kolshu. Hamalake deitzim, if someone is picking wood, is collecting wood, gathering wood, im lesakein kolshehin. If he's doing it to be misakein the area, he's trying to clean out the wood, so then even a kolshu. Im lahesik, but if he's collecting the wood to use the wood for a firewood, kedei levashel beitzakala. So that we've seen that it's the amount of wood that you would need to cook an easily cooked egg. Hamalakeit asavim, if person is gathering weeds, imla sakein kolshu. Again, if he's doing it in order to be misakein the tree or the area that he's gathering it from, so then even a kolshu. Imla behema, but if he's doing it to collect food for an animal, kimelo pia gedi, then the amount, the shear that he's going to be chayef for is the amount that fills the mouth of a gedi. So lemay chazi. So says the Gemara, what's a kolshu ra'ui for that you're going to be chayef even for being plowing a kolshu? So says the Gemara, Chazi lebizra dekara the kavasaga b'mishkan shekein roi lekelachecha shel samanim. You could plant a single pumpkin seed in an area that's just a kol shehu that you cleared out, that you plowed in the field, and just like by the mishkan, even a kol shehu was significant because they were able to plant a single stalk of the different materials that they used to make dyes out of. So that is significant, and it does mirror something that was done in the mishkan. So mainly you're going to be chayiv hamenachesh hamakarsim hamizari. The mishnah went on to give examples not just of plowing but of weeding and pruning different types of things. So tan rabbanan hatolish ulshin. If someone uproots endives vamizarid zradim, or someone prunes reeds imla achila. So if the intention is to use it for food, kigrogus, the shear is going to be your grogus. Imla behema kimlopiagidi. If it's to feed to an animal, then the shear is mlopiagidi. Imla hesik. If the intention is to use it for firewood, kdele vashel beitzakala. Then the shear is going to be the amount it takes to cook an easily cooked egg. Imli yafel sesakarka kol shein. If it's to make the karka look nicer, then it's a kol shehu. So says Gemara, what atu kulu lo liyafel sesakarka ninu? In all of these cases, aren't you making the karka look nicer? So in every case, it's liyafel sesakarka. The shear should always be a kol shehu. Meaning, even if your intention is to eat it, to feed it to your animal, to do something, to use it for firewood, at the end of the day, you're being miyapa the karka. You're making the karka nicer by weeding out these items. So if you're making the karka nicer, you should be chayiv anyway for a kol shehu. So Rabbi Rav Yosef Damit Avayu ba'agam shanu. So Rabbi and Rav Yosef explained that we're dealing in marshland where there's no reason why you would want to make it nicer, and therefore you're not going to be chayiv for making it nicer on a kol shehu. You're only going to be chayiv when you collected a significant enough amount to accomplish what your real intended task was. Abayu Amar afilu teme besada. You could even delav agam. You could even say it's not at a regular field where you are making the field nicer. Ukagon deloka mechavein. But that's not your intention. Meaning, if your intention is not to make the field nicer, you're not going to be chayiv on a kol shehu. When you chayiv on a kol shehu for making it nicer, when that's what you were trying to do, says Gemara Vabai Varavadar Mitavai Moda Rabbi Shimon Psikreshe Velo Yamos. But isn't Rabbi Shimon Moda that even when it's davar shein miskaven, you're not intending to make the field nicer, but it's a psikreshe that it's going to become nicer. So isn't that a violation anyway? Isn't Rabbi Shimon Moda that you chayiv on a psikreshe Velo Yamos where it's going to be a psikreshe that the malacha is going to result from it? This is an unusual example of psikreshe. This sounds a little more like a malacha shein tzrich legufa, where you're doing the exact malacha. You're actually removing something from the ground. It's just for a different purpose. You're not doing it to make the area nicer. You're doing it in order to collect animal feed. Sounds a lot more like a malacha shein tzrich legufa. The Rishonim have a very difficult time with this line. Why we call this a psikreshe? Psikreshe is you do act A and it leads to malacha B. Over here, you're doing mamish, the same exact act as the malacha. It's just with a different purpose in mind. So a very difficult line in the Gemara. But anyway, the Gemara asks, isn't Rabbi Shimon Moda and Psikresha Veloyamas? Says Gemara, Lo Tzricha Da'avid Ba'ara Dechavrei. Another very critical line. That no, it's not a Psikresha because you're doing it in your friend's land. What? And if I write on your paper, is it not kosev? If I cook your food, is it not bishul? So why is it the fact that I'm doing it on somebody else's land? How does that help anything? How does that take away the malacha? Says Rashi, Lo ichbat le liafos. When it's my friend's land, I have no interest in making it nicer because I could care less about how nice his land looks, and therefore it's okay. Therefore, it's not going to be a violation. Why? Why is it not a violation? Says Tosfos, this is the source of the Shitas HaAruch. The Aruch is quoted in Tosfos in many places in Shas, most notably in the first parak of Masechet Ksuvos. Is the longest treatment, I think, of the Shitas HaAruch. Pirush ba'aruch de b'psikreshe de lo nichalei, kigon de ka'avid ba'ara de chavrei, kigon ba'achar she'eno o'avo, va'kotzitz ba'heres, b'shas mila, she'en lo hana, mutter l'chadchila, va'afilu isid rabbanu leka. The shita of the Aruch is that any psikreshe de lo nichalei, when you do action A that's going to lead to malacha B, and it's definitely going to cause malacha B, but you have no interest in malacha B happening, it's lo nichalei, lo ichbat le, we paskin is lo nichalei. That when you don't care, that's the same as not wanting it. So if even though it's psikreshe, the Aruch holds mutter lechadchila, that there's no problem whatsoever, not even an isser midrabanan, to do psikreshe delo nichalei. So if let's say you're ripping a package and it has lettering on it. So if you're trying to open the package, it's going to rip off some of the letters. So that's a psik reisha. You don't care about the letters. You don't care about ripping letters. Maybe you could say that's psik reisha d'lo nichle. Shitas ha'aruch muta l'charchila. The aruch based on our gemara, because all we do is we say it's your friend's field, and that's enough to solve the problem of the fact that it's a psik reisha. So Tosfos over here discusses several rayas whether this is true. Tosfos himself disagrees based on the case of Mappas Morsa. Not going to get into all the details, but Tosfos himself disagrees. And then toward the end, Tosfos brings a raya from Perek Lulav HaGazel, the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Lamed Gimel. Gabe Ein Mematin Biyomtav. Let's say you have a hadas with a bunch of berries on it. The hadas as is isn't kosher. You need to remove the berries in order to make it kosher. Can you remove the berries on Yontif? So Mishum Rav Lazar Rav Shimon Amru Mematin. The Gemara says, according to Rav Lazar Rav Shimon, you can. According to the Tanakhama, you can't remove the berries. Frankly, Gemara, how could Rav Lazar Rav Shimon allow you to do it? It's misakin mana. You're fixing something. You're making it a viable hadas. The Gemara answers, no, you were picking the berries because you wanted to eat it, not because you wanted to use it as a hadas, so it's no problem. Frank the Gemara, what do you mean? It's a psik reishe. You're removing the berries. You're going to make the hadas a kosher hadas. It's a psik reishe. Says the Gemara, no, isle oshana achriti. You have other hadasim that you could use. You don't need this one. So therefore, it's not going to be a violation. It's not going to be a psik reishe. Therefore, what? So says Tosos, sounds very much like the aruch, meaning we didn't make it not a psik reishe. You're still fixing the hadas. You don't care because you have other stuff that you could use for a hadas. You don't need this one. And if you don't care, then it's okay. Then it's mutter. Psik reishit lo ichpadai is mutter. That seems to be a raya also for the shita of the aruch. Okay, that's the major discussion of the shita of the aruch. Now we move on to the malacha of kosev for the remainder of the daf. Says the Mishnah, hakosev shtei osios. If a person writes two letters, bein b'yamino, bein b'smolo, whether he writes with his right hand, whether he writes with his left hand, bein mishem echad, bein mishtei shemos, whether he writes two of the same letters or two different letters, bein mishtei samonios, whether he writes with two different inks, b'kol lashon, in any language, chayiv, a person is going to be chayiv for writing on Shabbos. Now, b'kol lashon is a bit of a chiddush. The Rama writes in Siman Shin Vav Seif Yud Aleph that ksav amim is only asur midrabanan. That if you write non ksav ashuri, you don't write in Hebrew ksav ashuri letters, it's only asur midrabanan. That Rama is based on an Or Zerua in Hilchos Shabbos Siman Ayin Vav, that ksav midaraisa is only ksav ashuris or yevanis. Those are the only things that are considered ksav. Now, a good number of achronim disagree with that. The Nod Behuda doesn't even want to use it as a sniff lahakel when it comes to different types of kulas. When it comes to kosev, he's not interested in that at all. But that's the shita of the Rama b'shem the Or Zerua. Am Rabbi Yossi lo chivu shtei osios el mishum roshem. Rabbi Yossi says you don't even need to write two letters. You just need to make two markings, and that's already enough to be chayiv. Shekach chosun al krashei mishkan. Because think about what would they do in the mishkan? They would just make a marking on the different boards to know which board went next to which other board. Leida ezo ben zugo, to know which one went next to the other one. There's a fascinating Yerushalmi, Leida ezo ben zugo, to know which one goes where. The Yerushalmi says over there that I saw Rav Zilberstein quoted this Yerushalmi in the context of a shaila from an admar, from a Hasidic Rebbe, where the Hasidic Rebbe used to have a certain chassid that would always sit next to him, and then the Rebbe married off one of his daughters to somebody else, so they wanted to know, should the son-in-law take precedence and be able to sit next to the Rebbe now? So what does it, what in the world does that have to do with the Krashei Mishkan and the Kosev? So the Yerushalmi writes on this Gemara, and it's quoted by all the Rishonim over here on the Gemara, the Ran and Lam Zayin B'dapi Arif quotes this, that two of the Gedolei Amoraim would go to the Bei Nasi every day. That one of them would go first every day, and then the other one wanted to go first, and they wanted to know does he have a zuchus kedima because he used to go first every day to see the nasi. So he says the pasuk says vakimoses hamishkan kimishpato. What b'chim mishpat yesh le'etzim elakeresh hazach linasin b'tzafon yinasin b'tzafon liolam v'chein b'darom yinasin b'darom. That a board that had a zuchus to be in this spot always had to be in that spot. That's why they had to mark off the boards. They were interchangeable. Why couldn't you just put different boards in different places? No, if the board was supposed to be there, then that's where it was supposed to be. So the Yerushalmi used that as a raya for people also, that when you get a sheichus with an Adam Gadol, so if you have a certain zuchus to be in that spot. I think this is also what they quote from the Arizal. The Mishnah Berurah discusses whether our minhag that we have an atara on a talis, the lav dafka silver atara, just anything, even the cloth atara, that we keep the same side of the talis as the top of the talis, same side as the bottom, based on this idea that the one that had the side that had the zuchus to be used for the top of the mitzvah should always have the zuchus to be used for that side, and the one that didn't have the zuchus to be used for the top of the mitzvah should always be on the other side. I think it's based on an Arizal that we do that we have the atara. The silver atara is a different issue. That's a discussion in the Achronim, whether that's considered to be a noy mitzvah, something that's very beautiful. The Chassidim certainly believed so. I think there's a Malbim that the Mishnah Berurah quotes that wasn't so happy about it. That the Malbim said, you know, what sheichus does silver have to a talus? Doesn't make any. It's not a beged. Talus is supposed to be primarily a beged. But okay, anyway, that's based on this idea of Leida Ezo Ben Zugo. Rabbi Yehuda, Matzinu Shem Katan Mishem Gadol. Rabbi Yehuda says we find a smaller name from a larger name that you could also be chayv. Meaning, you intended to write. Rabbi Yehuda is telling me, even though you didn't finish what you wanted to accomplish, you wanted to write a larger name, and you only wrote a smaller name, you're still going to be chayv. For instance, Shem Mishimon Mishmuel. You wanted to write either the name Shimon or the name Shmuel, and you just wrote Shin Mem. Well, Shem is also a name, and so you're going to be chayv for that. Or you wanted to write Nachar, Noah. Minachar, and you only wrote Nun Ches, or Don mi Daniel, Gad mi Gadil. So even though you didn't write what you intended to write, but you wrote enough in order to be Chayiv, because you wrote two meaningful letters that on their own make up a meaningful word. So says the Gemara, Bishlama, I am min l'chayiv mishum d'der ksiva b'kach. I understand very well that a person is going to be chayiv when he writes with his right hand, because that's a normal way of writing. Ela asmol amai, ha'in der ksiva b'kach. Why did the Mishnah say that you're chayiv even if you write with your left hand? Isn't that enough of a shinoi? It's ain der ksiva b'kach. Why would one be chayiv when they write with the left hand? Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu b'iter yad shanu, that we're talking about a person who's a lefty. So a lefty, when he writes with his left hand, is going to be chayiv. Says the Gemara, but that doesn't make sense. V'tavi small d'day ki min d'kul if that's the case, then he shouldn't be chayiv when he writes with his right hand, if we're dealing with a lefty. When he writes with his right hand, he's doing it's ein derech ksiva. Elam rabbi b'sholit b'shtei yadav. Now, we're obviously talking about someone who's ambidextrous. And that's what we're saying, he's chayiv when he writes both with his right hand and his left hand. Rabbi Yaakov Bered de Bas Yaakov Amar Hamani Rabbi Yosihi. Rabbi Yaakov, the son of de Bas Yaakov, the son of the daughter of Yaakov, named after his maternal grandfather, says that we're assuming like the sheet of Rabbi Yosi. Damalochivu shtei osios elamishum roshem. That you're only chayiv, that Rabbi Yosi holds that you're chayiv even if you didn't write two letters, you just made two markings. Now, markings you could do equally with your left hand and your right hand. If you hold that you have to actually form letters, so then it's ein derech ksiva b'kach to write with your weaker hand. But if you hold you only need to make markings, so it's not ein derech b'kach to do with your left hand, because you don't need much dexterity and comfort in the use of that hand in order to make a mark. V'amid sefer Rabbi Yosi, reshal lav Rabbi Yosi. I frekta gemara, wait a second. Rabbi Yosi's name comes up later in the Mishnah. If Rabbi Yosi is going to be introduced with Amar Rabbi Yosi, lo chiv v'shtei Yosi yosel mishum roshem, sounds like up until that point when we said bein b'yamino, bein b'smolo, it's not yet Rabbi Yosi. And so gemara kula Rabbi Yosi. Now the entire Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yosi. Chachmas Menach gives a little bit of tam to the back and forth over here. Why we assumed it's not Rabbi Yosi and then we assumed it is Rabbi Yosi. So he says originally we thought from the fact that it says Amar Rabbi Yosi and doesn't say stam, so it must be that Rabbi Yosi is only introduced later in the Mishnah. And the answer is no. That's why it says Amar Rabbi Yosi and the lo katani stamak de lahoros to kula Rabbi Yosi ve ein lomer de palaga hadla elmi de lo katani Rabbi Yosi Omer. If it was arguing on that which came before, it would have said Rabbi Yosi Omer. You'd have the name followed by the Omer. That's always a lashon of machlokas when you have the name first. It's that this person said this, but Rabbi Yosi Omer, meaning to emphasize that someone else is saying something else. Amar Rabbi Yossi is just adding on. So the Amar Rabbi Yossi is not a Lashon of Machlokas, and that's what the Gemara says. Why didn't we mention it earlier? If the whole thing was written by Rabbi Yossi, why didn't we bring up Rabbi Yossi's name earlier? Says the Chachmas Menach, it could be that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi wanted it to start off as a Stam, so you should know that we pass him like Rabbi Yossi. Very often, he'll write something that's a Stam Mishnah as a Stam Mishnah, even though it's only the sheet of a single Tana, to indicate that that's the way we're supposed to paskin. So maybe that's why Rabbi Yehuda Anasi did that, to want to show to paskin that way. This issue of kosev ein derech ksiva b'kach, what's called not derech ksiva, is a very practical issue halacha lemaisa for doctors when they work in hospitals and they need to write down vital important information about each of the patients. So they are, for pikuach nefesh, they're allowed to write, they're allowed to do malacha. But anytime you do malacha, even for the sake of pikuach nefesh, if you're able to do it with the same results, hakala kal tchila, you should do it without violating malacha d'oraisa, with violating the least amount of malacha possible. So what should a doctor do if he has to write? So Silverstein says, very interesting, the best thing he should do, he should hire a guy to write for him. He says he knows of a certain doctor, who is Yirei Shemayim, who had a guy that met him at the hospital every time and would walk around with him all day, and he would tell the guy what to write. And the guy actually said, matovu manoim, if a person could do that, if a person could hire a guy to write for him. But absent that, if you can't have that, so he says the best etzas ksiva b'smol, that writing with the left hand. That's the Mishabura writes in Shin Mem Sivkat Mechav Beis that you kosev b'smol kalach or yado is pater based on an hour Gemara. He has a number of other interesting suggestions. He says maybe writing with broken letters would also be good enough. The Shulchan Aruch Harav in Shin Mem Sivches writes that a kosev ashuris b'chaser as a yunin mishatnes gatz. Maybe if you write ksav ashuris and you leave out the crowns on the letters, maybe even that you're not chayiv on. It's only asumi drabanan. But certainly he says kol ksav me ezo uma shalo gomero siyosef kitikunan. Any language that you write in, if you don't finish the letters off, you write in broken letters, probably difficult to do, that would only be asumi drabanan. That would not be a violation midaraisa. Then he has some really outlandish suggestions that are going to be very hard to implement. But those are the suggestions that he comes up with that are a little more that are a little more doable in terms of what a doctor. One doctor asks, he has to sign things. Is it better to sign his name quickly or to take a stamp that he has with his signature on it? So he said that he asked Rav Yashav thought that it's not just riba b'shiurim to take a stamp. It's not just that more letters are coming out with the same action. That you, in order to stamp more, the whole in order for the whole stamp to come out clear, you have to push down harder. So Rav Yashav thought it's better to write because fewer letters than to meaning he could initial something, but he puts the whole stamp, it's going to be his whole signature, that it's as if he wrote each letter individually when he stamps something, because it takes more pressure. Okay, says the Gemara further now, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Matzinu, about 5 lines from the bottom of the page, Ela Rabbi Yehuda, so Rabbi Yehuda says, even if you write Shem Mishimon, Shem Mishmuel, Dan Midaniel, etc., you're going to be Chayiv. Ela Rabbi Yehuda, Shtei Yossi Yosvein Shnei Shemos, Udom Chayiv, Shtei Yossi Yosvein Shem Echad, Lom Chayiv. Does that mean, tell me, Rabbi Yehuda only holds your Chayiv if you write two separate characters, but if you write the same character twice, you're not going to be chayiv? Vatanya, we have a brisa. It's going to be a long brisa with 5 different shitas. So let's see. Va'asa, and it's going to take us to the end of the daf. Va'asa achas yachal ad sheyichtov kol hashem v'ad sheyaro kol habeged v'ad sheyasa kol hanafa. I might think that you're not chayiv until you do everything, until you complete the entire action you set out to do. Tamalomer mei achas. That's why it says mei achas. I mei achas yachal afilu lo kasav ela os achas v'lo aragel luchot echad v'lo asal lebayis echad manafa. If you can say mei achas, I would think even writing a single letter, even weaving a single strand, anything, any minor element of a malacha. Tamalomar achas, that's why it says achas. Okay, tzad, enu chayiv ad sheyichtov shem katan mishem gadol. That's where Rabbi Yehuda learns that even if you didn't do your full intended result, you didn't write the whole name Shimon, the whole name Shmuel, but you did a little bit, that's enough. So shem mishimon mishmuel, noach minacha, don mi daniel, gad mi gadil, that's the shita of the Tanakama. So now comes along Rabbi Yehuda, shita number 2. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, afilu lo kasav ela shtei osios vehein shem echad chayiv. Even if you write two of the same characters, you can be chayiv. And this is our kasha, because in our mission it sounded like Rabbi Yehuda held you had to write shin and a mem, a dalet and a nun, two separate characters. Over here in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda says even if you write two of the same characters, you can be chayiv. Kigon, sas, tas, rar, gag, chach. Rabbi Yossi, third sheet of Vachim Yishum, Kosev Uchayev, Veloeinu Chayev El Mishum Roshev. Now you don't have to write any letters. All you have to do is make markings and you're going to be Chayev. Shekin Roshem El Krashe Mishkan, Leidu Ezi Ben Zugo. Because that's what they would do by the boards of the Mishkan to know which one goes next to what. Lefichach Sarit Srit Achas Al Shnei Nasarin. If you make one marking across two boards, or Shtei Srit Al Sanesar Echad, or two markings on one board, Chayev, you're Chayev for that also. That's Rabbi Yossi. Fourth Shita in the Brisa. Again, we already got to our Kasha, but we're going to quote all five Shitas anyway in the Brisa. Fourth Shita, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Va'asa Achas, Yachal Achi Yichtov Es Kol Hashem, Achi Yero, Kol HaBeged Achi Yasa Es Kol HaNafa, Tamal Omer, Mei Achas. I might think you have to do the full intended Malacha that you set out to do, so that's why it says Mei Achas. I Mei Achas, Yachal Afilu Lo Kosav Elo Osachas, Afilu Arge Lo Chutach, Afilu Asa Lo Bayis Achab Benafa, Tamal Omer Achas. So I might think even the most minimal amount you'd be chayav on. No, that's why it says achas. Haketzad enu chayv atshias a malacha shekayotzu b'miskayemes. To teach me that you're only chayv when you do a malacha, that's a lasting type of malacha. Now wait a second. Rabbi Shimon's shita, which is the fourth sheet in this brisa, sounds exactly the same as the Tanakama. The Gemara is going to get to that, right? Both of them said, I might think that you're chayv only if you finish everything. That's why it says meyachas. I might think you're chayv even if you do the tiniest amount. That's why it says achas. So what are they saying different? Fifth sheet, Rabbi Yossi Yomar Vasa Achas Vasa Hena. Pam Shechayev Achas Al Kulan, Pam Shechayev Al Kol Achas Vi Achas. Sometimes you chayev one carbon for various different activities, and sometimes you chayev separately for each activity that you do. And we'll get to how that happens. We already discussed that early in the Masechta. That's the end of the Braisa. But Katani Miha, what did we see in this Braisa? Rabbi Yudah Omer Afil Lo Kasav El Shtei Yossi Yosvein Shem Echad Chayev. That according to this Braisa, Rabbi Yudah holds, if you write the same character twice, you're going to be chayev. But in the Mishnah of Yehuda said, Shame mi Shimon u mi Shmuel, that it's only if you write two separate characters, a Shin and a Mem, a Dalit and a Nun, a Gimel and a Dalit. So says Mar Lo Kasha, Hadidei Hadarabe, one reflects his own Shita, one is Rebbe's Shita. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mishnah Rabbi Gamliel, Afil Lo Kasvel, Bezos Yosvein, Shame Echad Chayev, Gonsas Tas Rar Gag Chach, that Rabbi Yehuda says, in the name of Rabbi Gamliel, that two of the same characters you're going to be Chayev. But he himself would say, no, it's got to be two separate characters. Frak the Gemara of Rabbi Shimon Hainu Tanakama. But okay, now let's take a look at this Braisa. Rabbi Shimon is saying the same thing as Tanakama. Shita number one and Shita number four in the Braisa are the same exact Shita. V'chitei ma'alef alef de'ezreka yikabinayu. Unless you say that if you write two alefs, which by themselves mean nothing, but they are part of a larger word of ezreka, maybe that's the machlokes. De Tanakama savar alef alef de'ezreka lo mechayv. Rabbi Shimon savar kivin di'isei bilature bi'al mechayv. Where the Tanakama would say, since it's meaningless, you're not chayiv. And Rabbi Shimon would say, since they do sometimes write that in amulets, you would be chayiv. L'meimer de Rabbi Shimon l'chumra. Wait, that would mean that Rabbi Shimon is going more l'chumra. But we know that that's not the case. Rabbi Shimon is always more meikil. V'atanya, we have a braisa. Hakodeh kol shu chayiv. Amagar kol shu. Amavi kol shu. Hatzor b'kli tzura kol shu. Tanakama says that drilling even the tiniest amount, tanning the tiniest amount, scraping the tiniest amount, making the tiniest tzura, you're going to be chayev. But Rabbi Shimon Omer, Achi kadeach es kulo, Achi yigur es kulo, Achi yabed es kulo, Achi yatsu kulo. That you're only going to be chayev if you make something much bigger, which means Rabbi Shimon is more makil. So how can you tell me that Rabbi Shimon is going l'chumra? El Rabbi Shimon ha asalash minan. No, the machlokas tanakam in Rabbi Shimon is like this. Rabbi Shimon is coming to teach me the following. Achi yichtov es hashem kulo. That you're only going to be chayev if you wrote the entire name, that the entire word that you wanted to write. Wait a second, says Gemara, could that be what he says? The Bryce said explicitly, Rabbi Shimon Omer va'asa achas yachol ad sheyichtov es Hashem kulo. I might think you're only chayiv if you write the entire thing. Tamal Omer mei achas. That's what mei achas comes to tell me. You're chayiv for writing even less. So how can you tell me that Rabbi Shimon holds you're only chayiv if you write the whole name Shimon, the whole name Shmuel, the whole name Daniel? What do you mean? Rabbi Shimon says you might think that. Tamal Omer mei achas. So tritzvei mahachi. You have to translate that line of the Bryce a little differently. Not that the hava mean is I would think you're only chayiv if write the whole name Shimon, the whole name Shmuel. Yochalat shichtoves ha-pasuk kulo. No, the havamina is that I might think you're only chayiv if you write the entire pasuk. Tamalomer Me'achas. That's why the pasuk says Me'achas. Rabbi Yossi Omer, so now moving on to the next shita in the Braisa, Rabbi Yossi Omer Vasa Achas Vasa Hina. So again, so the Tanakama turns out holds that you're chayiv if you write Shin Mem from Shimon or from Shmuel. And Rabbi Shimon would say, no, you're only chayiv if you write the entire word. What are you not chayiv for? You don't have to write the entire pasuk, the entire sentence, but the entire word you do have to write in order to be chayiv, according to Rabbi Shimon's opinion. That's the difference between Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon. Now going on to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, Yom Ravasa achas vaseina, pam shechayiv achas al klun, pam shechayiv al kalachas vachas. Sometimes you chayiv one karbon for many activities, and sometimes you chayiv separately for each activity. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, my time with Rabbi Yossi. Where does Rabbi Yossi get this from? So he just looks at the pesukim. Achas, mei achas. Why does it have to add the extra mem in mei achas? It should have just said achas. What's the mem yaseira, the extra mem doing there? Hena, mei hena. Or hena, it should have written without the mei hena. And it writes mei hena with a mem. So what we learn from there is achas shihi hena. Sometimes you have one that is many, vehena shihi achas, and many that is one. How so? So one by one we take it. Achas Shimon. If you violate stam, one malacha is Shimon, writing Shimon. We darshan the mem to tell me that you're not chayiv until you write the entire word. Meachas? Meachas would tell me shemi Shimon. Then you chayiv even more if you write shemi Shimon. Hena avos, mehena toldos. You're chayiv for avos and toldos. Achashi hena, where is it one that you're chayiv many for? Zadon Shabbos v'shigas malachos. You knew that it was Shabbos, you were shogeg on the various malachos, you chayiv separately for each malacha. Hena shiachas, multiple activities, you only chayiv one. Shigas Shabbos v'zadon malachos. You forgot that it was Shabbos, and you were zadon all the malachos, you're only going to be chayiv one karbon, because it was only one big shogeg. Okay, we'll pick up from two dots tomorrow.